Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of ourselves? How do we navigate a world that's changing so fast around us that it's getting hard to tread water when it comes to getting older and the issues of aging and long-term care and all of the things that are happening right now? Glad to have you with us. Welcome to Assets and Aging, California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. The longest running show of its kind in the country, certainly in California, but we're pretty sure the country. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here for 18 years on KFBK. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only, and should not be taken as any form of legal or tax advice. It's editorial only. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, and hay fever. So I have a frog in my throat that I can't make go away. I have a California, an insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request and direction. And everything we talk about here is related to the issues of aging. How do we take care of our aging mother, our dad, our grandma, our Aunt Betty, our spouse, our friend? And how do we do that in an environment that every day, every single day, not most days, every day, becomes more and more and more hostile to the elderly, to seniors, to their families, to anything that they try to do? We're going to talk about lots of stuff today. We're going to talk about the death of Medi-Cal. We're going to talk about the death of VA benefits. We're going to talk about what's coming with an aging population and how more and more and more you can expect, if you're getting older, to be left on your own without a safety net. And if you think I'm making it up, I'm going to talk about some stuff today that's going on that hopefully you will pay attention to. And all of the politicking that's going on right now, you don't hear anybody talking about the issues of aging. And yet, we have a population. We have a population that is getting older and older and older and older. We have families that are more spread out. We have safety nets that are precarious. We have we have interest rates that are at zero. In fact, in some cases, negative. By the way, if you're suffering that, you don't have to. There are lots of ways that you can deal with your finances in a better, more astute way. You don't have to believe what the banks are telling you, or your broker, or anybody else. Yeah, you can protect what you have. You have the right to do that. And more and more and more, it's going to become important that you do that. In order to stay informed, this is a good place to start. If you're listening to this show live, terrific. If you're listening to it on my website, that's great too. There's lots of ways to contact me and get information and make sure that you and your family and your loved ones at the end of life are protected. We're going to talk about some of the things you need, the trends that are coming. So let me give you some resources. First, you can always call me. You can call me at my toll-free number right here in Sacramento. That's where this show originates. It's where my office is. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website. My website is full of information. Assets, ASSETS, and AND, aging, AGING, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. And if you go there, you'll find my phone number, obviously. you will find all my archived podcasts and radio shows so that you can listen to this show at your leisure. You can listen to my podcasts. You can listen to other shows. You can become informed. And speaking of podcasts, every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on a current issue of aging. Government benefits, VA benefits, big changes coming to the VA. We now have an Agent Orange denier that's in charge of the subsecretary to the Veterans Benefits Association. He believes that Agent Orange is a harmless chemical. All kinds of things that are going on that you need to be aware of. You can also, on my webpage, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have at least one workshop a month, sometimes two. And if you haven't been to one of my workshops, you need to come because it's not like anything that you've ever been to before. I know some of you have been to workshops and you've heard all kinds of things, but you've never been to anything quite like mine. I'll guarantee it. You can also send me a question. You can ask me a question. You can sign up for an appointment. You can do all of those things. You can get information right on my website. Again, assetsandaging.com. You can follow me on Twitter. Just lots of places where you can get information on the issues of aging. You know, I talked last week about the changes to the California recovery system, and I mentioned to you that people were not going to catch up. And here today, I'm looking at an article. This is from the California Health Line, which I think comes out, it's part of Kaiser. It's part of the Kaiser Health News. Now, here we are, how many weeks later? And I told you that last week that the changes that were going to be made to the Medi-Cal recovery program, that the state had budgeted $30 million. And this week, and what did I tell you? I told you on last week's show, this show is so far out ahead of everybody else, that the loss to the state would be at least $60 million, even though they only budgeted $30 million. And this week, what comes out in California Health Line, but limits on Medi-Cal recovery program will cost the state $60 million a year. And then, you think I make this stuff up, folks, the taxpayers are going to pick this up. And as I said last week, you need to go look at the legislation. It was a trailer bill, Senate Bill 833, I believe, or 883, I forget which. Hang on just a second. I've got it in my stack of stapled together papers. Senate Bill 833, which was put on as a trailer bill to the budget. And here's another article from the Mercury News. You're now just starting to hear about this. And you heard about it on this show last week before anybody knew about it. Now, all of a sudden, the governor has signed into law this thing on there's going to be no more Medi-Cal recovery for certain people, only for seniors in nursing homes. So we still have a target group, which is old people. People in nursing homes don't vote. Their families don't care. Nobody cares about them. We don't care. So they've admitted that they don't know what this is going to cost. Remember, the governor vetoed this bill prior because they were talking about losing $15 million. Well, now we know it's going to cost the state at least $60 million to change this rule. That's $60 million paid for by taxpayers, folks. Now, who's behind this? And why are they willing to spend $60 million of taxpayer money? I know why. I suggest you do some research and find out. Find out who are the groups behind it. Who are the groups supporting this? who are the groups that were in favor of costing the state another $60 million in taxpayers' money? Now, I want to read you something from one of the governor's advisors, and I want to read you something from Senator Ed Hernandez, who was the sponsor of this bill from Southern California. And remember where the senator is from. It's a huge victory that this year's budget limits estate recovery so that people with modest family homes, that's a lie. That is a lie. So that people with modest family homes can pass it on to their children. What about old people, folks? They won't get to pass their homes on to their children. Who's behind this bill, and why are they willing to spend $60 million of taxpayer money and only go after the homes of old people? Then I want to read you the last quote, and of course the reporter doesn't follow up on this. The last quote is still Department of Finance spokesperson H.D. Palmer cautioned that if budget circumstances change going forward, the state would have to revisit a whole host of issues. In other words, they have no idea what this is going to cost. And there's a reason why this bill was passed. And if you look at the sponsors, I'm not going to talk about it here, but if you look at the sponsors and you look at who was behind this, legal organizations, lawyers, lawyer referral services, nonprofits, you will begin to decipher what's behind all of this and why it's going to cost California taxpayers, according to their own. Finally, Kaiser has come on board and recognized that this is going to be a $60 million a year budget hit to the taxpayers of California. Now, why was it for the last 2 years that at $15 million, it was considered a budget buster, but this year at $60 million, it passes in the middle of the night with no public comment, signed into law by the governor of the state of California? Go do some research and find out. Now, I want to couple this conversation. And if you're older, you have parents that are older, you better pay attention to it. Because the emphasis is on taking away the safety net for older people. There's a lot of reasons for doing this. There's a lot of reasons for targeting seniors. There's a lot of reasons. And you need to go do the research and find out. It doesn't do me any good to tell you, because you won't believe me if I told you, and somebody else will, you know, will say, just go do the research for yourself. But let me mention some other things. Medi-Cal is the primary payer of people in nursing homes. These are people who paid taxes for 50, 60 years, 40 years, and at the end of their life, they had the wrong disease. So if you're on general Medi-Cal, which has no asset limits if you get it through Covered California, there's 13 million people on Medi-Cal, folks. And if they get it through Covered California, there's no asset requirements. They could own a house, they could own anything. But if you're an old person and you go into a nursing home, now we care about your house. Now we care about not leaving your children a legacy. Well, the state needs it. Why is that? Why is it that sometime this year, one of the largest payers of senior care in the United States, called the Veterans Administration, and they've already posted these, and they've already started talking about them, and on all the listservs, there's a discussion about sometime this fall, they will promulgate regulations that will create a 3-year look back in order to get VA benefits. Why is it that Medi-Cal doesn't count IRAs, but the VA counts IRAs as an asset? But if you cash in your asset, and by the way, who has most of the IRAs? Older people. They've been putting money in their IRAs for 50, 60, 70 years. So if you have $100,000 in your IRA because you saved and you need VA benefits and the VA says you can only have $20,000, you have to cash in your $100,000 IRA. Now, when you cash in your $100,000 IRA, who benefits from that? When the VA forces you to do that, who benefits from that? The government, because the $100,000 becomes taxable. It creates a taxable event. So sometime this year or early next year, it is estimated, the VA will promulgate regulations that will create a three-year look back so that if you transferred any assets, even if it wasn't for the purpose of you, if you gave a gift to your kids or to your college or to whatever, it could make you ineligible for veterans benefits for up to 3 years. Now, why all of a sudden, that doesn't exist today, why all of a sudden, and by the way, when you read the proposed regulations, they're all tied to the Medicaid rules. Why is it that all of a sudden, with an aging population, with the baby boom veterans beginning to, you know, get turn my age, the Vietnam vets, the Desert Storm vets beginning to get older, why is it all of a sudden that the Veterans Administration, which right now through aid in attendance and other benefits helps pay for a lot of care for senior vets, are going to a three-year look back? Why is the state of California, sometime this year or next is my guess, they're supposed to have done it in 2006, but they've been putting it off, will promulgate regulations that for Medi-Cal benefits, if you need care in a nursing home, will have a five-year look back. Now, if you go to Covered California, there's no look back if you need Medi-Cal. So why? Who's behind it? Why? Who benefits? I have a very wise person that deals with political issues a lot, who's a close friend. And one of the things he's told me and taught me over the years is anytime there's legislation, anytime there's a new law, there's always someone who's a winner and always someone who's a loser. Always. All legislation advantages someone and disadvantages someone else. Always. It's always that way. So who is advantaged by all of this? Look at the demographics, look what's happening in America, look at an aging population, look at who controls most of the wealth in the United States, older people. Why all of a sudden are we seeing more and more and more of an onslaught of regulation denying older people access to health care, either through Medi-Cal or through the VA? And why is it that only seniors in nursing homes, for crying out loud, are targeted for Medi-Cal estate recovery? So if you have someone who goes to Covered California, and he's 55 years old, and he needs open heart surgery, and he owns a house, which he could do and get Medi-Cal through Covered California, and he owns a house, and he has $1 million open heart surgery, when he dies, there will be no recovery. If that same person was in a nursing home and owned a house, when he dies, there will be recovery. Why? Who benefits from that and who doesn't? Who is that? I want to read you again from this article in the Mercury News. They can still come after me if I end up in a nursing home or need home care. By the way, that's not true. There is no recovery and never has been for home care. So, again, the reporter in this article in the Mercury News, Tracy Siepel, didn't do her homework. They can still come after me if I end up in a nursing home or need home care, said 64-year-old Richmond resident. But other than that, the standard stuff I was so up in arms about will no longer exist. My home will go to my kids. Now, that same 64-year-old person, so if he needs an open heart surgery and it costs $1 million, his home is safe. If he was 70 years old or 64 years old and in a nursing home, now his home is not safe. Tell me why. Come on. Let's see if you're all smart enough to go research this and figure it out and figure out who benefits and who doesn't. And I want you also always to remember in all of this, who votes and who doesn't. And is any of this about vote buying? Are we currying the favor of some people at the expense of other people who may not vote? So my question is, what happens when the underpinnings of a society that to date has cared about its elderly and has provided care in nursing homes and has provided home care and has provided waiver program for assisted living and has provided for adult daycare, and why all of a sudden do we have new regulations that only target old people in nursing homes? Now, given that the fact that what has happened is a budget buster, we now know that it's going to cost at least, this legislation is going to cost taxpayers at least $60 million, and I'm telling you it will go over $100 million. So when this budget buster hits an already strained budget in the state of California, are taxpayers going to care? Are they going to ask a question of why are we picking on old people? Why are we picking only on seniors in nursing homes? Why have we not spread the pain across the entire Medi-Cal population? And that's exactly what we've been doing since 1993. And you look at one group of people saying, now I get to keep my house, but at the expense of another group of people who are now not going to be able to leave their house to their children. I know what the answer is. I want you to go do some work and find out. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. What are you going to do to protect yourself and your family when all of this goes away? And there's no more safety net for nursing homes. There's no more leaving your house to your family. There's no more protecting what you own. There's no more help because it's a budget buster. Like I said, we have now another extra $60 million coming out of the Medi-Cal budget and that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for. So what happens when that becomes a really big budget buster? What are you going to do to protect your family? What steps are you willing to take? What expense are you willing to go to? How much are you willing to inconvenience yourself to make sure your family gets to keep the house that you live in or the assets that you worked a lifetime for? I don't have the answer for you. I know what the answers are, but I don't have the answer for you. If you want the answers, then you need to get up, go to the phone, get to one of my workshops, get in to see me, and begin to establish a plan to protect yourself from what's happening all around us. And it's been happening, by the way, for years. I've been saying for years that there is a large group of people that benefit financially from all of this, big time, to the tunes of millions of dollars. And you need to understand that it's real. I'm not making it up. I didn't pass this bill in the middle of the night in secret, in the dark. Who did that and why? And why was it important to them to do that? Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, assetsandaging, AGING.com, assetsandaging.com. Find out what you can do to help protect you, your mom, your dad, your family. Get to a workshop. You can look on my webpage and sign up right there for a workshop, and you'll be sent a ticket via email to get in. Workshop's free. But you have to start out with the first step. You have to decide if it's important to you. You have to decide if this is real or not. You have to decide if you're willing to take the steps necessary to protect your family. 800-999-8007. Call during the break. Assetsandaging.com. Go there, sign up for a workshop or an appointment, but begin to do the things that you need to do now so that you don't become a victim. 800-999-8007. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back right here on Assets and Aging, and we're going to talk money. See you in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us when we get older? How are we going to take care of mom and dad? I want to talk about money. If this continues to go the way that I've been predicting for the last number of years, and I've been shown to be true, right on, I picked the number before Kaiser did of exactly what this was going to cost the state. Not $30 million, $60 million minimum out of taxpayers' money, out of your money, and you don't know anything about it. You had no say about it. You had no input in it. You don't know who was behind it. You don't know any of that other than the taxpayers of California are now picking up a $60 million bill. And why? Who benefits? You'll be stunned when you figure it out. So don't forget my podcast on Wednesday. Don't forget on my website, my phone number, 800-999-8007. Every Wednesday at noon, this Wednesday at noon, every Wednesday at noon, I do a podcast on one subject. They're always on something, one subject dealing with long-term care, taking care of an adult, taking care of mom and dad, whatever. I want to talk for a second about what happens when all of these support programs go away. What happens when I can no longer get Medi-Cal if I'm in a nursing home? How am I going to pay the $100,000 a year? What happens when I can no longer... I was talking to somebody the other day who has somebody in a memory unit. They're paying $8,000 a month. 8 times 12 is $96,000 a year for assisted living, folks. So how are you going to pay for this? Are you going to move in with your daughter? Is she going to come in and move in and take care of you? Let's talk about money. Because money is what's going to take care of you. There's an organization out of Seattle that for years and years and years, I won't give you the guy's name. It was a nonprofit, but even they went for profit because they had to admit they were in it for the money and they get paid by insurance companies. There's a whole cabal of folks out there that profit from all this, people. Trust me on this one. But they've been pushing for years and years and years to do away with Medi-Cal and do away with VA benefits and do away with Medicaid. He lobbies all over. He does workshops all over. He lobbies state legislatures. He's lobbied in California, and it's all about making Medicaid go away. And what he focuses on is people should have to sell everything, including their home, in order to pay for long-term care. Now, he doesn't make the same demand out of people that are 55 years old and need open heart surgery on Medi-Cal or cancer surgery or chemotherapy, but that's another argument. That's another issue. So my point is the movement has been for a long time to do away with this and force people who go into nursing homes to use all of their money, their house, their whatever they have to pay for long-term care. Now, we don't do that. Again, we don't do that for people who have cancer or who have a heart attack and go to the... We don't demand that they spend all of their money. Only people who wind up going to a nursing home. I think it's ironic who we're biased against, and it's old people. So what happens when Medi-Cal goes away? What happens when all of that goes away? You didn't buy long-term care insurance because you didn't understand it, and now you can't get it because you're 80 years old. So how are you going to use what you have, and how are you going to make sense out of it? Well, Bob, you know, there's no place out there where I can make... Yes, there are. I see things come across my desk all the time that are 2.5%, 3%, 3.5%, 4%, 5% interest. I see stuff all the time. Now, banks won't tell you that, and your broker won't tell you that. He'll tell you to go buy bonds or go invest in a mutual fund or do whatever and hope that you make some money. But I think when we get older, we have to be wiser about the kinds of things that we do. And there are lots of things that can be done. I hear about them every week, and I wish I had the time to go into them in more detail. But there are lots of people out there who have discovered stuff that will help them make money and strategies that will help them make money without risk, to principal. It can be done. Now, because of the constraints of legality and all that kind of stuff, I can't go into all of it here. And here's the reason why. Because if I say something and it doesn't apply to you, or it applies to somebody else, or I don't use exactly the correct pronoun or verb, then everybody gets all upset. Stockbrokers, same, you know, your stockbroker now has to be, he can't tell you anything because he's so terrified I had somebody the other day got a check in the mail from his stockbroker for a little account. And he called the broker up and said, why did I get this check? And he said, well, you haven't done anything on your account for 2 years, so we had to close it. There was no activity, and send you a check. Because we're afraid that, you know, you might be dead or you might be... And he just got a check in the mail because he hadn't done anything with the account for 2 years. I'm not making this up. It actually happened. So everybody's running scared, and the average person sitting out there doesn't know what to do beyond going down to the bank and trying to figure out, pardon me, how can I get a 0.6% interest instead of 0.5% interest? And you and I both know that with inflation at 2%, and remember, the Fed is trying to do what with inflation? They're trying to raise it. They want inflation to go up. They want it to go up gradually, but they want, if you pay attention, they want it to go up. So if you're going to get, you know, 1% or 0.5% on your whatever it is, then how are you going to pay for all of this? If they're going to force you to sell your home or whatever it is to pay for your care because the state's going to take away all the safety nets or take away your house after you're dead, then how are you going to pay for this? How are you going to manage it? You need to begin to think about your money in new ways. You need to think of your money in unconventional ways. And you need to think about it not as a lump sum, but as income. If I have $100,000 at no interest, and I go into a memory care unit tomorrow or an assisted living facility tomorrow, and it's $50,000 a year, my $100,000 in the bank will pay for care for how long, assuming no interest? Come on, all you math, 2 years. So my $100,000 that's in the bank has a 2-year care benefit. If I have a $300,000 house and my spouse, and let's say I got a $300,000 house and $100,000 in the bank, and my spouse goes into a nursing home at $100,000 a year, how long, and if all these safety nets are gone, or I'm going to lose my house anyhow to an estate recovery, how long will my $300,000 house and my $100,000 in the bank pay for my spouse's nursing home? 4 years. And if I sell my house and my spouse lives 4 years, at the end of the 4 years, how much money do I have left to live on? The answer is nothing, because I had to liquidate it to pay for care. And then if my spouse dies, especially if it's the husband that dies first, what happens to the wife's income? It goes down, doesn't it? So we have to look at our income not in terms of lump sums. Because when you say I have $100,000, it sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. $100,000, somebody gives me $100,000 tomorrow, I'll take it. It sounds like a lot of money. But when I think of it in terms of its care benefit, its monthly income benefit, its annual care benefit, how long will whatever it is I have take care of me or take care of my spouse? And it's exceptionally critical with married couples, because if one spouse uses up all the liquid assets paying for care, then the other spouse, when that person finally dies, the one that's ill, the well spouse has less money to live on. Their standard of living has gone down dramatically. So I understand that most of us are trained to think in terms of gross. I want you only to think in terms of net. Most of us, when we were working for a living, I still work, but most of you, when you were working for a living and somebody said, how much do you make every week? You would say $500 or whatever the number was, which was your gross income. But you didn't take home $500, did you? You took home $360. But the number you always quoted as your salary was gross. When we think about what we own, we think about it in gross terms. We don't think about it in terms of taxes. We don't think in terms of how long would it take care of me. We think of it in just, I have this much. I want you to start thinking about it in terms of net. If I had to pay $50,000 a year for care, by the way, an 80-year-old woman has a life expectancy of a little over 9 years. So if mom develops dementia or frailty today, and she's 80, in theory, I could be paying for care for her for 9 years. And that's if I can get, and at $50,000 a year, that's $450,000. At $100,000 a year, that's $900,000. I want you to begin to think about, if the safety nets are going away, if it's going to be harder to get VA benefits, harder to get Medi-Cal benefits. You know, I have two cases going right now. I've got more than that, but I have two cases. I have one case in Sacramento County. And this is why it's hard to do this sometimes, folks. And they have two IRAs. Well, those of you that have IRAs know that when you hit a certain age, you have to start taking money out of your IRA. So let's say I've got two IRAs with $50,000. I got one at Bank A and one at Bank B, because I don't like everything in one basket. So I got $50,000 at one bank and $50,000 at another bank. Well, I have to take out minimum required distributions, but I don't have to take it out of each IRA. I only have to take enough out that satisfies my minimum required distribution based on my total of $100,000. I could take that all out of just one account. Well, I have a case right now in Sacramento County where there's two IRAs in two different places. they take all the money out of one to satisfy the minimum required distributions, and Medi-Cal can't understand that, and they want to deny the case because they don't understand why they're not taking money out of both accounts. I'm not making this up. I wish I was making it up, but I'm not making it up. Okay? I have another case in another county where there's some savings bonds. And the savings bonds are in the name of the single person who's in the nursing home. Not a lot of money in savings bonds, but we have to count the savings bonds. And so there's money in the savings bonds. Well, there's no spouse. It's only in the person's name that's in the nursing home. So we have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to get that money so that we then can do what we have to do with it and all that kind of stuff. We have to do stuff through the Federal Reserve. We can't go down to the bank and cash them in because the person that owns the bonds is on Medi-Cal in a nursing home. Well, Medi-Cal wants to deny eligibility, even though under the Medi-Cal statutes, that's unavailable property. So normally they count savings bonds as cash, but we can't get to the cash because we have no way to cash them in. And they don't understand that. My point is the rules get harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. I have a good friend that does VA benefits a lot. By the way, if you're a vet, there are a lot of benefits you may qualify for. If you're the surviving spouse of a vet, you need to know about aid in attendance. And you need to understand it, and you need to avail yourself of it, because it can help pay for care at home, for care in assisted living, for care in a boarding care. All of this stuff that can pay for all of that. But you need to understand. Oh, I have a case in San Joaquin County. Again, this is where the rules and the person was getting aid in attendance because they were in assisted living. When they left assisted living and moved into the nursing home, the VA doesn't pay aid in attendance if you're in a nursing home. They're still trying to count the VA income, and I'm trying to convince them that no, they're not entitled to the VA income anymore when they're in a nursing home. But they don't get that. They want to deny this person Medi-Cal benefits. My point is, as the safety net goes away, it's going to become more and more and more important that you understand how your money works and how your money is protected so that your money will be available for you to make the choices you want to make about the level of care that is best for you, best for your family, best for your mom, best for your dad, best for whoever. You have to begin to take control of this. Did you know that when a VA case goes back to the VA and you have an adjudicator sitting in their little cubicle back in the VA office in St. Paul, that one adjudicator could rule on it completely differently than the guy in the next cubicle over? Because a lot of the rules aren't really written down. They're open to interpretation. How do you defend yourself against that? How do you make sense out of that? How do you protect yourself against that? How do you begin to defend yourself against a system that is more and more and more rigged against the people who are actually going to need it and have been able to use it, but are going to find it harder and harder and harder to avail themselves or acquire benefits to which they're entitled? It's going to become more and more important that you become more educated, that you become more wise. Pre-planning is going to become more and more and more important. It's going to become those of you that are 50 years old and are watching your 80-year-old parents get older and older and older. What are you doing to make sure that they're prepared? Because guess who's going to manage their life? It's not going to be them. It's going to be you. It's going to be you. The person in the nursing home is not managing their life. the person in the memory care unit in assisted living is not managing their life. The person who's had the stroke living at home is not managing their life. Somebody else is managing their life. I had somebody in my office today with a spouse that they've had to do a conservatorship on. The conservator was in my office with the spouse today because they're trying to figure out what to do because the ill spouse is going to have to go to a nursing home. The well spouse has a mortgage, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to manage all of this. All because none of this was ever supposed to happen, and they didn't plan, and they always thought the safety net would be there, but the safety net is going away. You need to ask yourself the question, who's interested, and who's behind, and who's pushing to have the safety net go away? Why does the governor sign a bill he's vetoed twice when $15 million was considered a budget buster, and we now find out it's going to be a minimum of $60 million a year picked up by the taxpayers? I want you to begin to think in terms of gross, not net. It's going to become more and more and more important. And making sure that you think about what you have is protected. What you have is going to go to the people you want it to go to. I got a phone call the other day from someone who was taking care of one of my clients for years to tell me that this person had died. And they called to thank me because of what we did years ago. Everything that was left was protected and was going to go to who that person wanted it to go to. Not to somebody else. It didn't all have to get spent on care. It was protected, yet that person lived a good life and got the care that they needed the last couple years of their life. Pre-planning and planning is going to become more important than ever. It's always been important, but as time has gone by and as we see the safety net beginning to dissolve before our very eyes, it's going to become more important that you ask yourself, everything that you do, how does this impact my ability to take care of myself or my mom or my dad or my grandma or my grandpa or my friend or whoever it is? How do the decisions I make today about money, about savings, about return, about preservation of capital, about my house, about everything that I have, how do I make sense out of that so that the capital is there? How do I begin to think about my capital instead of in terms of a lump sum, but think about it in terms of the income it will provide me so that I can take care of myself or my loved one or my mom or my dad for the rest of their life at the level of care that's appropriate for them? I don't have the answers for you today on the radio. I have the answers, but the answers are going to differ for every single one of you. What you can do is you can begin a plan and begin to start dealing with all these questions and come in and sit down and we'll reason together and we'll figure out a way. Every day I have people in my office who go home without doing anything, hoping it will get better. And when they leave, I know that it's too late because something catastrophic is going to happen and they will have done nothing and then it will be too late. Don't be one of those people that it was too late. 800-999-8007. Come in and see me. The consultation is free. Come in prepared to work. Come in prepared to make a difference in your life or your mom or dad or grammy or grampy's life. Come in prepared to look at everything you have in terms of not how much do I have, but how long would it last? How long would it take care of me? How long would it allow me to live the way I want to live and receive the care I need to receive to have a happy end to my life? How do I make sure that there's some legacy left for my children or my grandchildren. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Again, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com. You can go there. You can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. I have them every month, sometimes twice a month. You can sign up for an appointment. You can call me. You can send me a question. You can listen to my archived podcasts and radio shows. You can do all of those things. You can make a difference in your life and the life of your family. You do not have to be a victim. The handwriting is plain. The target is plain. It's the frail elderly and the disabled. You need to ask yourself, who's advantaged by this and who's disadvantaged and why? And then you need to say, okay, what I want to do something about this, and I want to make sure that I'm not the victim. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I want to thank you all for listening. Go to my website, listen to my archive shows, listen to the podcast, give me a call, get in touch, and begin to make a difference in your life and the life of your family. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until there's nothing you can do. Take advantage of today. We know we have today. We don't know about tomorrow. We'll see you here again next week, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a great day.